Oh, hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Out the Box podcast. It's late Sunday evening, 16th of July. So there's only one thing to talk about, really, for us. Somerset face a trip to Northants this week in the county championship. No, not really. Not really at all. Somerset are Vitality Plus champions, Harry. You've still got your t-shirt on. You're still buzzing. We're all still buzzing. 18 years, four finals, three semi-finals. It's been a long, long time. So many times the lads of Somerset have had to watch those fireworks go off and celebrate the achievements of another team. Last night, it was Lewis Gregory lifting that trophy. Harry, I was stood next to you for the final ball. By the time Tom Coleridge-Cadmore had taken that catch, you were about eight rows in front of me, I think.
Yeah, fair comment. I would say I support Somerset more than I support any football team or anything else. If, you know, people in England say, who do you support? And it's, you know, it's our life at the moment, especially in the summer. And I was just, yeah, amazing. All the heartbreaks, all the years of heartache, which has happened the last few years, is just amazing. Yeah, couldn't hold it in. And it was great to be in the Somerset stand, as we were, with all the faithful there. And just the emotions was incredible. And I've still been buzzing all day today. I've gone to two different cricket matches today, and so many people with Somerset shirts and hoodies and talking to me about it, and so many different messages from random people who've all come out of the woodwork. I've barely heard from all summer, suddenly jump on the bandwagon. But that's great. It shows how much impact Somerset has across the West Country.
There's so many numbers and stats we could talk about, and we could go through, and we will go through some of them. But Triggs, you've been to plenty of final days yourself. You've won it a couple of years ago as well with Nottinghamshire. Like, they're not easy days. The kind of the mental strain of two semi-finals and a final, a lot of waiting around, a lot of adrenaline. Like, what are your kind of memories of that experience?
No, I agree. They're not easy days. I mean, it sort of slightly concerned me, the draw, because I suppose on paper and with respect to all the teams that were there, I think everyone kind of felt that Somerset and Surrey were, you know, the favourites. And when you get drawn in the semi-final with the other perceived favourite, I think you put so much sort of mental effort into getting over that hurdle that you forget that you've got a final to play when you eventually do get into the final. So I know that, you know, depending on, you know, whether you play first or second, you know, that there are challenges. I mean, I think many years on now, I think the second team format is, you know, two 2020s in a day. And I've played a few of those, and they're exhausting, actually. You know, like, I know it's, they are, you know, short games, but I think they're such fast-paced games, and especially in front of a massive crowd. The chances are the guys didn't sleep, you know, great the night before. You know, so much energy. But I'm glad the guys sort of stuck it through and came out on top. Like I said, we've been to a number as a club and not got over the line. They are great days, right? But, you know, you don't want to be that person watching the other team lift the trophy. So, yeah, I'm over the moon for the lads. I was in the kitchen. I just got back from my game. I was in the kitchen watching that last few moments, and I just thought, you know, it actually dawned on me that, you know, the small margins in the game, because Daniel Sams is a dangerous player. I think if that's 2 inches further to Coleridge-Cadmore's left, and that goes for four, I actually think Somerset are in a real hot, you know, sticky situation. The finals that I've played in for Somerset, those moments have gone against us. This time it went with us, and it was amazing. And you definitely, as Harry says, feel the buzz around the county today.
It was an odd day, wasn't it? I think finals days, notoriously, they're not actually like high run scoring affairs very often. You don't often see 200 plays 200 on finals day. And Ben Warren, who's also alongside us, like 142 against Surrey. Most of us, I think, if we're being honest, the Surrey All-Stars, we felt that was a bit light at the interval. But what Somerset went and did with the ball was just unbelievable after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the scores in the first game were slightly higher. And as you mentioned, sometimes those scores do get lower as the day goes on. But yeah, I think everybody at halftime just felt that, you know, the boundary options dried up in the Somerset innings. Surrey bowled very, very well. I mean, there's no getting away. Surrey bowled very, very well. They didn't bowl much loose stuff at all. So yeah, halfway, I think everyone felt, everyone in the press box, that, you know, the huge amount of Somerset contingent in the press box felt that it wasn't enough. But then when Craig Overton bowled Laurie Evans, hope, and with hope you get momentum, and Somerset's bowling was just brilliant, wasn't it?
And you forget, Will Jacks hit the first ball of the innings for four, and you think, here we go. This really isn't going to be the day. But Triggs, Craig Overton, right, in this tournament, not just his bowling, like he often bowls three or four up top. And so often with other teams, we see, you can sometimes see five or six bowlers bowled in the power play. And Craig was on the live stream match this week, and he said he doesn't do much different to what he would do in a championship game. He just tries to hit good areas and force batters into mistakes. And also 22 catches he took, I think, in the tournament. That's a high for any T20 tournament. The one that I really enjoyed, and you could see he really enjoyed it, Jamie Overton, his twin brother, hit one down his throat at long on. Me and Becky were stood right behind him in the middle tier. There were no other, like very few other Somerset fans, and we felt we were up on our feet giving him a massive roar. He turned up and looked at us, or we thought he looked at us anyway. He was just roaring, but he's a man you know really well, Triggs, and like he just has not carried that side, but led the side.
Well, I think you've got to credit the management and the captaincy, because you know, I think with respect that, you know, Craig's sort of 2020 bowling at the death over the years probably hasn't been you know, the greatest in terms of run rate, and I think kind of for the very reason why his bowling at top is so good, because he's a tall bloke, because he gets a lot of bounce, batsmen are able to get underneath him with the older ball, and obviously that's something you don't really want for the death end. It's why people like Alphonso Thomas in particular were brilliant. You know, short, skiddy, you've got a bit more margin for error to get your Yorkers in. And I think it was really brave management to persevere with bowling the four up top, especially the way that sort of, you know, Rossington, you know, goes after it in particular, in the final with Dan Lawrence as well. So I think it's really unusual for a club to use that tactic, and for it to yield a trophy, and I think you've got to credit, you know, the thinking behind that. That's you know, no other club has done that, and the combination with Matt Henry, irresistible. I mean, Edgbaston is one of the great venues. I don't think it's the greatest wicket for T20 cricket, you know, especially when it's had 80 overs on it. Often it becomes a little bit of a sticky dog. You know, the ball starts to grip in the surface, as we saw. But Somerset exploited those conditions brilliantly. Craig Overton and Matt Henry were sensational all throughout the competition.
Yeah, they really were. So Matt Henry with his fourth wicket and it in the final, and it turned out to be the match-winning wicket. Brilliant catch from TKC. I think Lewis said afterwards on his interview, I've never seen him move that fast this season, but he moved when it mattered. That took Matt Henry to 31 wickets, so he actually nudged above Ben Green as the leading wicket taker. He's also only played 14 of the 17 games. They've rested him for a few. And I did hear someone suggest that Kent wanted him back, but not to play T20. So if that's true, that feels like a little bit of a mistake. But H, I think one of the things this year has been that batting top order, right? TKC, Smead and Banton. And they've taken us to the final, and they all got starts on the day. But what they've all always said is that everyone in this side is capable of winning a game. And we've seen Ben Green, 30 wickets in the tournament. But Sean Dixon on the day, his runs, it was only 30 not out in the semi, and it was 50 in the final. Just invaluable.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, I don't reckon there's any other team in the Blast who Tom Lambie wouldn't get into. If you think of it like that, left-hander, quality player, scored those amazing runs against Gloucestershire on Sky, and so many of the commentators come to Taunton and talk about Tom Lambie and how highly they rate him. And he can't get in this side, and that's not a disservice to Tom Lambie, really. Did all right opening the batting when Banton was injured in one of the games, but Sean Dixon has come in, done well, and I was talking to you, wasn't I, about certain players just seem to do well on finals day, lower scoring pitches, had a few overs, as Triggs just said. And I always think Jordan Cox, Joe Weatherly, and Sean Dixon can now join that sort of bracket. Those guys that bat sort of four or five, rebuild, and still manage to score a decent strike rate over 100, but get the job done when it's a little bit of trouble. And, you know, I was impressed with Joe Weatherly, actually got the top score on the tournament, on the finals day. But Sean Dixon was crucial, top scoring in both innings, and played some great shots.
Yeah, he did. Let's take it away from like the on-field events. Like Ben, you were up in the press box the whole day. Like it's actually a very busy working day for you. You've had all the social media to sort of, like, what's your experience of the day? Like, can you be partisan up there or do you have to keep your head down? Do you have to stay quiet?
Yeah, it's quite difficult. We were on the front row, and the way that the press arrangements work is you've got all four counties that are on the road together, so each media team is sort of sat next to each other. Now, luckily, we kind of have a pretty good relationship with the counties. There's certain individuals that have represented more than one club, but it was the toughest thing from our side was the turnaround between the semi and the final. Like, it was normally you get a little bit of time to prep a game, i.e. toss, team news, things like that, but the turnaround time was insane. The final wicket was taken, I think it was Will Smead out the boundary, wasn't it, for the Surrey game, and Lewis Gregory had to go and do the toss for the final, and I had Sky and Test Match Special coming at me saying, what's the team for the finals? I genuinely have no idea. Like, just walking off the pitch, so that was really, really tricky. But yeah, it was a fantastic press box, and it was great to be up there. We had a great view of the TKC catch, but again, we were a little bit nervous about going out with the We've Won comms, just because after last year, you never quite know, has he grounded it? You know, it looked clean from first view, but you know, you don't want to put the We're Champions out and then somehow there's an umpire review. And so it was all a bit carnage, but we got there in the end.
Yeah, you did. And Harry, as I said, you and I, we went down to sit in the with the Somerset fans. I was writing for one of the newspapers. I had a 9:45 deadline. Anyone who is thinking back of the game didn't finish till 9:55. So I had to submit my report when Essex were 8 wickets down and say, this assumes a Somerset win and they take all 20 wickets, because that's what I've written. But hey, it was just like wonderful. We were in around with, like, you know, Polly Rhodes, the scorer's husband, Dave, the whole Abel family were in there. And actually the younger brothers, Will, they look a bit like, and I was chatting to Will and he said, oh yeah, Tom and I often get mistaken for each other. Will often gets called Tom. But it happened last week, believe it or not. They were actually sat together and someone went up to Will and said, oh, were you playing for Somerset the other day? And he went, no, I wasn't, but the chap sat next to me. So apparently Will Abel looks more like Tom Abel than Tom Abel does, which I really enjoyed. But Harry, you could feel the emotion in there. Like, everyone was together. It was tense, but those wickets were celebrated like wonderfully. But Triggs made a good point, because we got them 9 down. And we're all thinking this is one, but actually, what was it? 15 off 10. If that goes for 4, it's 11 off 8, and Essex are the favourites. But sum up what it was like to be in there.
Yeah, there's so much I could say on this. I'm actually on the second screen as we're talking. This podcast interrupted me replaying the game for the first time. Essex is currently 108 for 8, needing 38 from 23 balls. It's still doable. Aaron Beer's just come in. Dan Sam's at 29 out, and I'm watching it back now. And you get such a different vantage point from the stand in the ground, then to the press box, and then to watching on Sky. It's completely different things you notice. And I didn't realise quite how close Sam's was getting Essex. It was only one of the chaps behind who was sat with Craig Overton's girlfriend. They were sat in the road grounds of the North Devon boys. And he shouted down to me, Harry, don't celebrate too much yet. Don't get too carried away, because Sam's could win them this. And just to touch on Sam's, like MVP of the tournament, I think he was, or player of the day. Amazing. And I just think this is worth mentioning, the mental things about cricket. We were having a few beers, me, Ben, all the players. It's great to see the players all mingling into the early hours of this morning. And at, what was it, 4:30 in the morning, Darren Sam stops having a beer, goes to his room, picks up his golf clubs, his cricket bag, all his bag, goes down the lift. I said to the Essex media guy we're chatting, where's he off to? Oh, he's got a flight at 5 o'clock. He's playing in the American T20 league tonight. How ridiculous is that? Sorry, Miss Sun, I'm doing it, but it shows that, you know, the level of cricket these guys have to play from one continent to another. But there's so many talking points from yesterday. And I think the main summary is it wasn't easy. It never is with Somerset. There were proper nail-biting moments in that second innings. And Sam's really had the game for him. And it was getting really close. If TKC doesn't take that absolutely spectacular grab, then, yeah, I think they'd be in the box seat, as Trigg said earlier.
It's great to have overseas players who really care. You could see, actually, if you look back on Sky, there's a video. Yeah. Sams doesn't move from the spot for a good 5 or 6 seconds after that catch. He is rooted there, legs apart, like he was absolutely gutted. He took them so close. Triggs, what does it mean? You and Hildy, you know, had that 2019 One Day Cup final, and I know how dear a moment that is to your heart. Can you try and put into words what this win means for Somerset?
Well, it's huge, isn't it? Especially for, you know, the young crop, your Smeeds, your Bantons, you know, those guys of that age that have got, you know, long careers, you know, getting sort of trophies under the belt, I think only will hopefully bring more in the future. You know, we're a small big club, and I think that yes, we've had a spattering of trophies, but it'd be nice to see that a little bit more consistent over the next sort of 10 years. So like I said, winning a trophy early on in a player's career, I think is really important. And I think my sort of favourite moment was watching via the social media stuff that Ben put out, the guys mimicking what we did in 2019, singing the Blackbird song in front of the stand, and that brought back a lot of very, very fond memories. And, you know, you can hear, even though it was pretty tone deaf, the singing standard of the lads, you can like sense the passion in the voices, and that brought back a lot of very fond memories. So yeah, new group of players. It was just an excellent day. Like I said, two scrappy performances, certainly not vintage, certainly not what we expect to see from a Somerset team, but they got the job done. And that is what it's all about on a final. I was going to paraphrase Ian Holloway with his famous getting the job done, ugly, whatever it takes. But, you know, it's exactly that. It's a real positive thing for the club. The South West and a young group of very high quality cricketers.
Occasionally the best team does win the tournament, and when you win 15 games out of 17, when you take 151 wickets out of 170, I don't think anyone could argue, you know, you've got the two leading wicket takers, three of the top 10 batters. Like, if it was going to be Somerset's year, this was the one. But Ben, finally, there was a very touching moment at the end, and I think it showed what Somerset is as a club. I think in just 20-30 seconds, Tom Cola Cadmore, you know, young Bodie, who I think he'd met at the kit launch, is that right? And the guys have followed his journey like he's followed their journey. And it was just really special to see in the midst of those celebrations, Tom remember that Bodie was there and give him a moment he will never forget.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's my overarching memory of the last 24 hours. The on the pitch was incredible and unforgettable, but it was some of the moments around it, the human moments. You know, I think everyone will have read the situation with Bodie and how the players have sort of followed his journey. Also, there were stories, you know, last night when we were celebrating, there were kids, there were families. Matt Henry gave the match ball to a 5-year-old kid, and those are the bits that, you know, that's not necessarily normal in professional sport. You know, these guys genuinely care, and those are my overarching memories of the last 24 hours. Is we won it, but we won it in the right way.
H, best memory, favorite memory, something you'll hold on to from the day?
I think it's the aftermath, the positive comments from so many mates who aren't Somerset fans, Surrey fans or Essex, Hampshire, but from all around the country and the county. Best team, amazing fielding. Like, we were discussing the stand, we couldn't believe our own Morgan kept him on the radio how well Essex have fielded when they let a few fall. And I thought, well, by Somerset standards, that's not good fielding. I think you realise on finals day how good Somerset's fielding is compared to the other three sides that were on finals day. And that for me was, well, there's so many special moments. I mean, I was going to also mention the tactical decision was bold, brave, cool. Triggs is probably a good one to get in on this, because I remember you coming in for Chris Nash for the final. That's quite rare, isn't it? For a team to change personnel from the semi to the final. I thought Jason Kerr and Sarge, they were the ones who made them do Blackbird after the game. They were spot on. To Bashir came in, didn't bowl. It wasn't, you know, necessarily the wrong call for the semi-final, but they realised that. They changed it in the final, brought Casey in, bowled a couple of overs, and he was there with the bat. And yeah, Trees, I remember you coming in for Chris Nash. That it's rare, isn't it, that they changed from semi-final winning into the final.
Yeah, it is unusual, but, you know, horses for courses. The wicket probably wasn't spinning like you know, we all expect it to do as much as it has done in previous years. And you know, I suppose one of the main turning points of the game was getting rid of Rossington in the final. I mean, that was an unbelievable catch because he absolutely belted that. So, you know, I'm not sure what Shoaib's fielding is like necessarily, but I mean, Casey's probably one of the only guys, you know, in the country that would take a catch like that. I mean, he's got, you know, he's an amazing second, third slip fielder, and it came at the pace of a slip fielder. So not many covered catches would have taken that. So, yeah, that was a huge moment in the game for sure. Yeah, it's I think we, like I said, I mean, I think tactically, I think Somerset have been great. The Henry Overton combination, fantastic. The Overton, all four overs, pretty much predominantly up top the whole competition. Yeah, it's gone exactly the way that Somerset wanted it to. And one of the crazy things is a guy that was signed to steady our 4-day batting is the batting hero of the finals day, Sean Dixon. When he signed for the club, I don't think Sarge or Jace would have thought he's going to be our man of the moment for the finals day. So fair play to him because he's had a tough start. You know, like I said, he would have come to the club expecting to pile on the 4-day runs. That hadn't happened. And he's made himself a hero in the Southwest in one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Lovely way to finish it. And you're spot on, Triggs. That catch was travelling. Rossington's just hit three boundaries in a row. All of a sudden, Rossington goes, Pepper goes the first ball of Henry's next over and Lawrence at the back end of that over. So it was a game-changing catch. Look, folks, we've gone on a little bit longer than usual, but I hope you will indulge us. It's a pretty special moment. We've waited a long time to do this podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Somerset, as I said at the top of the show, travel to Northants on Wednesday. They have to lift themselves back up for that one. I'm sure they will have no problem.
Sam, one last thing for me.
Go on.
Just for everyone listening to this podcast, that's a Somerset fan, wasn't it great listening to all those partisan London commentators on Sky have to be nice to Somerset? It was awesome. I was listening to it all day. We heard with the Surrey lads and the Middlesex lads, all wanted the London boys to win. Somerset come out on top, get in.
You'd have loved it, Treves. The three, Somerset, Surrey. But it was almost like it was Somerset, Hampshire and Essex all against Surrey. Like even in the celebrations after, it was like three against one. It was incredible.
Oh, perfect way to end. Right, we are signing off now there. Speak to you soon, folks.